Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, September 8th, 2017. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
There's one word to describe me today. Splendiferous.
Splendiferous. And for some reason, I suddenly want to have a big Broadway musical production all around you.
I like it. Well, thanks for having me. So let's work on that after the show.
Okay.
You might be doing air quotes, but I'm doing jazz hands.
This is going to be the best Broadway musical production number ever. Hey, we have a sponsor today, care.com. They are the company that can help you find the in-home care and services that you need for the seniors and other loved ones in your life. So thank you for being our sponsor. And we should just jump right into some topics. And I want to talk about Siri today. And first up, I want to talk about Siri, the voice. And Brian, what you have found the purpose of Siri was supposed to be.
The purpose of Siri
or at
was
least
supposed
what
to be.
It's not supposed to be.
Oh, it's not supposed to be a trivia bot. Right. Yeah. That was the big quote on that. Let me actually grab.
And just remember, I don't like to edit.
Fair enough. I will. Yes. So from the beginning, this is from Wired. From the beginning, Jozwiak said Apple wanted Siri to be a get blank done machine. Mm-hmm. Drives him crazy that people compare virtual assistants by asking trivia questions, which always makes Siri look bad. Quote, we didn't engineer this thing to be a trivial pursuit, he says. A really interesting quote. And I mean, like, so one of the things that struck me about this is that Apple is perceived as being behind and it annoys Apple. And so this is like last year, there were some conversations about everything that they're doing in the world of AI and how they're using machine learning and AI to do all this stuff and how they're trying to do it right and how they're basically not taking shortcuts like, cough, 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 Amazon. And this seemed to be another sort of part of that, a part of that campaign, probably specifically and, of course, in advance of the September 12th media event. Mm-hmm. But they really want to convince us that they're on the right path for Siri because, frankly, I believe very strongly that Apple is losing the perception game in this particular fight.
They have lost the perception game.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that that's not a persistent truth, though. It's just true today that they have every opportunity to change that. But at the moment, they are the loser of this perception game. And I think we should be fair to call the perception game the reality game, because right now the reality is Siri's not as good as everything else for humans to use.
And see, the problem that I'm having is that when I set something up, and I'm going to use my smart home environment as an example, because this is one of the ways that I interact with voice assistants every single day.
Sure.
When I set something up so that I can voice control it as a HomeKit device, Siri just gets it and knows what it is. When I set the same device up, like literally the same device up to be used through my Echo Dot, I have to go and do all of these other things to make it seem like Alexa gets it and knows what it is. And so I have to come up with clever names for things that sound conversational so that I can remember the exact wording to use when I tell the Echo to turn on the lights.
I get my philosophical panties in a bunch too on just the approach of having for the user to have to train him or herself to use a device is just philosophically offensive to me.
And yet every single device we use, that is the case. Literally. I mean, like, you don't know how to drive a car. My 15 and a half year old son does not know how to drive a car until we teach him how to drive a car. He has some idea about that, but he needs to be trained. People don't know how to use a computer until they're trained to use a computer.
But there's it's like learning DOS commands. There's like just a practical limit to how many things we can learn. Now, mind you, Apple's high minded. Yeah, we're teaching and making Siri just able to understand you, period. They have to get that to a point where it's as usable as the training stuff that I'm whining about.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to be careful not to apply persistence to any state of any of these devices. To say that Siri is going to get better than Amazon's offering is true, but it's only true. It will get better than what Amazon's offering is today.
Today. Okay. Yes.
Right. But I would assume and fault me for making this assumption, but that it's reasonable to assume that both of these companies will march these offerings forward. And so when Siri's better, Amazon might still be better than Siri. Right. So I think all of them understand what you're saying, Brian, which is that we want and should have a device that understands us like we're talking to another human. Right. I mean, that's
the goal.
Yeah. No, I mean, it might not be the goal. That might actually be too creepy for us as humans. Right. But certainly the ability to get to that point and then perhaps ratchet back from that a little bit to get it to a comfort level. That's great. But we're not there yet. And so we need functionality. And to Joswiak's point, you know, he wants it to be a get stuff done device. Well, that's what my Amazon device is right now. They are failing at hitting their own metric. And to say that, you know, our goal is to make it, you know, to be a get stuff done device as opposed to, you know, a Trivial Pursuit machine. Well, okay, then do that. Make it a get stuff done device. And don't bring in this other thing that's just a distraction. Like, it doesn't, that to me, that sounds like a marketing cop out.
I'm not going to fight that.
It's certainly a great goal.
Yeah, but if they're complaining that people are setting a different bar for them than they set for themselves, okay, fine. I mean, any of us that have watched Apple for even a short period of time know that Apple's goal is to hit their own bars, not necessarily those that are imposed upon them by those of us outside. But if that's their bar, they're not hitting it. Yet. Right. Again, you know, yeah, even I need to be careful not to treat these things like they're persistent.
Yeah. And I agree with you, Dave. Right now, Alexa is my get stuff done device or platform. And yet it's still very frustrating because I've had to try and memorize the exact words that it expects me to use to do things. Like sometimes I need to say trigger and sometimes I don't.
The terms are utterances, Jeff. That's the term Amazon uses to describe what needs to happen. Yeah.
Let me take some notes here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, you're going to want to write that down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find that to be very frustrating.
Totally. Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. But I am frustrated less by the Amazon stuff than I am by Apple's voice stuff right now.
Yeah. And for me, it's a mix. It depends on what thing I want to do, which also is frustrating because now I have to think about which of these voice platforms do I use when I want to do a specific thing because Siri is better at some things and Alexa is better at others.
Correct. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm not even interested in bringing Cortana or Google Now into the mix, because that's just more platforms that I have to learn the idiosyncrasies of so that I can say the right things at the right time.
But I'm sure Google you Home. Would, I'm sure you would find those things. You would describe those the same way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Cortana or Google Home is better at these things than, you know, the other, than everything else, but none of them is the best.
Right. And Brian, thanks for the correction on that.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. All right. So I'm curious to see if we get any special surprise news related to Siri on September 12th, since we're going to be getting iPhone news. Well,
here's my fear on that. My fear on that is that since two executives did this interview in advance of the media event, that we're not going to get any surprises.
Right.
That's my fear.
Right. Yeah. That's the same game plan as WWDC. Right. Was like, we got to announce some stuff because we don't have time in the thing on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yep. And we've already seen other announcements kind of happening. So, yep you're probably right, Brian.
I think of all the things that we've postulated on here, Brian, that is the one that's probably the only one that's correct.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is care.com. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, what they do is help you find the different types of services that you need to help your loved ones, the seniors in your life, so that they can stay at home instead of having to go into, say, an assisted living center. This is something that for me has come up just recently. And I think like so many people, it comes up unexpectedly. So I have loved ones in my life that I'm now having to take a more active in-home care role with than I did before. And it's not the sort of thing that you're prepared for, even if you think you are. So having a service like care.com out there to have your back and help you with all of this is really great. So they have a website that's I found to be easy to use. It makes it very clear all the services they offer, and it makes it easy to find the things that you need to help out the people that matter to you. So what they can do is help you find the different services that you need so your parents or whoever your loved ones are, they can stay at home. And they can help you find the personalized care that fits their needs. Again, because hey, they want to stay at home instead of living in some other center. Home is always better. They can help you find the meals that they need. They can take care of errands. If there's housekeeping things that need to be handled, transportation, personal care, even just someone to be there for companionship, a lot of other things too. These are the sort of things that care.com can help with. And they have found that if you have in-home care, it can save you a substantial amount of money over what you would be paying for care in a facility. In some cases, that can be 50% savings, which is a very significant. And I'm also finding it interesting. Right now, we're looking at over 40 million adults are providing unpaid care for an adult that's 65 years or older. And that's a big burden for a lot of people to take on. Care.com can help with that. So what you need to do is go check out their website, care.com, care.com/TDO. Now, when you go to that special link, you can check out all the services that they offer, see if there's something there that can help you and help the loved ones in your life, the seniors that you have to take care of. And you can also get 30% off their premium subscription. So go check it out, care.com/TDO. Get that 30% off a premium membership. And thank you to care.com for being our sponsor today. All right. So I said I want this to be a Siri show today. And I think we need to shed some light on what's going on with this new potential security vulnerability that people are talking about now, and this thing, it's called Dolphin Attack. And here's the quick background on it. Researchers found that they could use ultrasonic frequencies, so frequencies above human hearing, and use that to send recorded commands, voice commands, to devices like, to the voice control services. That would be Siri, that would be Alexa, that would be Google Home, that would be Cortana, and there's the Samsung thing, and I believe the Huawei thing. So anyhow, several different of these voice control systems, they could send commands that humans can't hear, but they could, and the devices responded. So they were able to do things like get iPhones and Samsung phones to call phone numbers. They were able to open web pages, and the phone has to be within about 6 feet, they found, for this to work. But still, let's say you're in a crowded area, you're hanging out in a coffee shop, and someone wants to screw with your phone, they could have an ultrasonic transmitter where they're sending sound through it and start screwing with your iPhone or your Android phone. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And since both of you spend a lot of time dealing with sound, I just had a feeling you would be exactly the right people to work through this with.
Yeah. So this is interesting because the sort of the armchair gut reaction solution to this is to say, well, the easy thing is to just make these devices not responsive to commands above the range of human hearing, right? Or to sounds above the range of human hearing, which is, you know, arguably 20 kilohertz, right? Mm-hmm. Is what humans, like, generally we say that humans go from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz, and we can get, like, very specific about that. But certainly anything above 25 kilohertz is not hearable by a human.
But it's not only above what we can hear, though. It's also above what we can speak.
Well, that's not true. It is above what we can hear. We humans are perfectly capable of making sounds that we cannot hear. And we do make those sounds all the time. Mm. It's just that we can't hear them. And it's possible. I mean, I don't know the engineers that work on these products, but I do know that they spent a lot of time. Like, Amazon has that whole far field voice recognition thing where it's actually figuring out direction based on reflections and all of that stuff. My guess is that to figure out all those reflections, they are happily paying attention to frequencies well above the range that humans can hear.
And the microphones in our devices clearly are capable of picking up those frequencies.
Totally. And again, I don't mean to berate you, Brian, but just because we can't hear a frequency doesn't mean we can't create it. Our voices very much create, and our mouths and our bodies very much create frequencies that we can't hear. But they are very, it's possible that these things are out there. In fact, we dug into this on Mac Geek Gab about 6 months ago. We wanted to be able to say the Amazon devices trigger word in the show without it triggering people's devices. And so we found, we did some research, and we found that, you know, if I'm watching TV and it comes on and says that, like, a commercial comes on from Amazon and says the trigger word, my device doesn't respond. Like, okay, why is that? And it's because they put a notch filter on the audio when that comes out on the commercial, and the device is built to ignore the trigger word. If, you know, I think it's a range, I think it's between like 450 and 2K, to 450 hertz to 2K or something, where if that's dropped like 12 dB or something in relation to the rest of the signal, then it knows, aha, okay, I shouldn't be listening to this. And this is something that would be absolutely abnormal. A human's voice would very, very rarely, if ever, cause that particular EQ pattern to happen. So that's how they do it. And we were able to do it on the show. We can't do it long term because we use a service called Auphonic that normalizes all our audio, and it totally squashed all that because it fixed it. It fixed it. Right. Yeah. So it doesn't work for us, but we did experiment with it, and it totally, like, if you're not doing something to fix your audio, you can break it and make it work in that sense. So I don't know that, like, if we want there's got to be a solution, and maybe the solution is not to put some, you know, low pass filter on and just completely ignore everything above 20K or whatever, but maybe say, look, only respond to things that you hear above 20K if they are also paired with something that's at, like, the, you know, whatever, you know, 1K range, which is generally where human speech starts to, like, and even lower than that, like, you know, 500 hertz to 1K. Like, you've got to have something matching it there. And if that's not there, then just ignore it. It's white noise or whatever. I mean, it's not white noise. It's ultrasonic noise. Those are two different, very specific definitions of sound, but you get what I'm saying.
Now, yeah. I'm wondering if, say, in Apple's case, the fix could be even easier than that, because our iPhones already have a voice print, and that's what they use for the Hey Siri part. And I'm okay saying Hey Siri because no one else's phone is paired to my voice. Why not just extend that to all of the Siri commands that we issue to our iPhones? Because if my iPhone is unlocked, anyone can give it a Siri command.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that might be easier said than done. You can train your phone. It's very easy to train a device with a 3-syllable known quantity. That's not really imprinting your voice. That's imprinting what your voice sounds like saying that command.
That's a really good distinction.
You're right. And so it's not saying, oh, I know this is Jeff's voice saying all this other stuff. Like, that's way harder to do. Well, not saying it's impossible, but way, way harder. Yeah.
Well, we could also change it so that we always have to say, hey, Siri. Which I think a lot of people do.
It's true. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Or if you're holding down the home button, go ahead and listen, because someone's in physical control of the phone.
Yeah, and once somebody has physical access to any of your devices, you sort of have to kiss the thought of ultimate security, you know, goodbye. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this is something that is proof of concept right now. And by that, what I mean is the researchers that figured out what Dolphin Attack is and how it works, everything they've done has been in a lab scenario. So at least as of recording time today, we don't know of anyone that's out in the wild with gear to transmit ultrasonic sound and with commands ready to go so they can screw with people's iPhones and Android phones. Still, I'm betting that there's a lot of companies that are thinking about how they can address this potential issue for their devices.
No, I'm sure there's a way. It's probably not trivial.
Oh, hey, I just got a text message from William Gibson. He said LOL.
Are you sure it was from him and not someone that was just near his phone?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here today.
That's Dave, William Gibson's pet dolphin, Hamilton, and I'm here. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. Good times.
Yep, it's always great to have both of you on the show. And care.com, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, care.com/TDO, and find the services that you need to help the loved ones and seniors in your life so that they can stay at home and feel comfortable. And also get that 30% discount on a premium membership. And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again on Monday.